This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. On the show today, I'm joined by the very talented Lorna Dandy. Lorna is an award-winning colour pencil artist and a member of the Association of Animal Artists from West Yorkshire in the UK. She is passionate about dogs, in particular Siberian Huskies, and these have featured in many of her best-known works. Lorna's style is hyper-realistic, precise, and beautifully composed. She has gained a large following across social media, and I'm very excited to draw with her today. In this episode, we discuss selling your original artwork, how to select the perfect colours for your drawing, how to practice and push yourself in new directions, and the challenge of packing your artwork, plus which coloured pencils are the best for realism. As we talked, we both drew a horse's nose, which is number 29 in the Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition. This is all coming up on this show today, so get your materials ready. If you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go. Hello, it's so nice to hear your voice and to guess sort of meet you.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. And thank you for asking me.
Thank you for agreeing.
How are you today?
Yes. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I think I've drawn out my horse nose a bit big, but never mind.
Oh, it looks good to me. So, what are you using? Are you using a cool grey or warm grey or something?
Yeah, warm grey too, because I feel it's a bit of a warm toned nose. Going in my warm grey, which normally I use graphite. I know you were talking about graphite before, but
yeah,
I do normally use graphite, but very, very, very light, and then I can erase and kind of freehand over the top. But
And you don't find like the erasing your outlines a bit daunting or annoying? Or...
No, I don't mind it, but I think because my how light I draw my outlines, they're barely there anyway. And by the time I kind of moved across a portrait, most of the outlines disappeared anyway.
I rubbed it all off with your hand.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just more like a comfort thing, knowing the outline was there.
Yeah, okay.
I can kind of just, as I go along, just map it in with the coloured pencils anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, you do your outlines really lightly. I like it. I go in so hard.
Yeah. A bit light sometimes, I'd say.
Too light. So, tell me a bit about yourself and how you got started as an animal artist.
I've drawn my whole life. I have been that typical story. I've always enjoyed drawing, always liked creating. But I was very much discouraged from art school, and not necessarily in a mean way from family members, but the typical, you know, you've got to go get a job kind of thing. It wasn't never in a horrible way, but again, kind of discouraged from doing art in that sense. So I never really knew what I wanted to do in life, whether it was to do with animals. So I actually went to university quite late, I'd say. I was 21 when I went to university. And I actually went for law. So I have my undergraduate and my master's degree in law.
Sounds useful, though, for running a business.
And I was actually meant to start a PhD in law. Then we had lockdown. So it was 4 years ago, well, June, 4 years ago in the lockdown, I actually picked up my pencils again. What had happened is I'm the kind of person that I just keep going and going and going. People that know me know I don't ever stop. I just like be busy. But during university, I did unfortunately lose 2 grandparents. But But I didn't stop to grieve. I just kept going with the studies, and then obviously lockdown kind of forced us all to stop. And that's when I realised, I was like, yeah, my mental health isn't great, and luckily I've got a very supportive partner. I could basically just do nothing in a sense. I was very lost. Like, I loved the law, and I think I always will, but when you know your passion isn't in it, you're not in it 100%. So I turned to drawing in lockdown again, just picked up the pencils. It's always been a distraction. I've always used it as like a distraction technique. And I've decided that because we have the time, I would give coloured pencils a go. And as they say, the rest is history, kind of.
So why specifically colour pencils out of every medium?
So I did do graphite. I felt I was very stagnant with my graphite. I wasn't pushing myself to get better. I kind of knew what I was doing. I could create an okay picture, but there was no drive or push from me to get better. And I thought I'd always been discouraged from coloured pencils. I was scared of them.
Right.
Like, am I going to ruin the drawing, or all these kind of thoughts that still run through my head every day. But so I decided that rather than doing something that was very much in a comfort zone, to step out of that comfort zone and do something very, very different and very scary. But it was a good distraction at the time, and now it's pretty much all I do.
Well, that's so wonderful. It's lovely how we find our medium, isn't it?
Because you didn't start with that either, did you? I know you were quite excited.
Yes, I was I was an aerospace engineer. So we both followed the path of the normal academic route. And then found art when we didn't want to do that anymore. Again, I was doing my PhD, actually, when I found art again. And I quit it. So that was very scary to have just gone in and be like, I'm not doing this anymore. But I just had to. I reached a point, like you said, like you just, when your mental health is at stake and you just need to do something else with your life. You need to follow what is in you.
Yeah.
And art's always been in me. I'm the artist of the family.
Yeah.
I assume you are too.
I am. Yeah, I'm the only one. Well, I never met my great grandfather, but apparently he was a watercolour artist. Oh. So my nan does have some of his watercolour paintings, but I need to try to find them so I can see them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's so nice. It's just in you. You can't fight it, can you? You can't fight genetics. You can't fight what you were born to do.
That's it. And when I think back, I've always kind of doodled. I've always been a doodler. And I think I've always maybe deep down known that I just want to draw, but it was never really the accepted thing at the time. No. It's never the thing I explored. But I'm glad more people are able to explore it a bit earlier on nowadays.
Definitely, especially with social media, it gives us so much more access to building a reputation as an artist and selling our artwork. Like, I understand sort of, how our parents would defer us to not be an artist at, because they didn't have social media. They didn't have this free way of marketing yourself. But we're so lucky to live in this generation that do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I say, I think my parents have more or less accepted it now. But earlier on, it was like, well, if it goes wrong, I've got the law degree to fall back on. If I ever need to go back to a normal job, so to speak.
That only lasts for a few years, though, doesn't it? And then sort of like your degree times out. I remember that because I think engineering times out, I think, after 4 years. So I remember when I hit the 4-year mark, I was like, oh, I can't go back now.
No, I think we're With law, it's not too bad. Obviously, I'd have to keep up with the current changes, but it's not too hard.
Me too. You're an amazing, successful artist now, isn't it? So tell me about your process, like how you sort of start your drawings and what you're sort of, you like to do first.
I mean, this, I don't ever do it like this.
Okay.
I like to work in sections.
Oh, dear.
So I always start, yeah. So with this, I kind of want to try and experiment by not doing section by section. But I like to start with the eyes, get the eyes drawn in, and I like to do them at on the same day. And I've discussed this with a few people, and it might just be me. I know there's some people that kind of relate, but when I'm drawing, my drawings definitely kind of depend on the mood I'm in.
Yeah.
I found that sometimes if I do my eyes on different days, they look, they still look like part of the same animal, but I can definitely see I was more experimental that day, and that day I'm more like reserved and I like to get them done at the same time, and then I work typically left to right.
Okay.
Section by section. I am very much like that.
No, that's definitely what I used to do as well. It's only till recently I've started trying to fill in everything at the same time because I'm trying to speed up how I do things. And it's been quite a challenge, I think, because when you're working section by section, like you said, there's things completed and it's satisfying and then you can move on. But when you're trying to do the whole thing, you've got lots of... whole thing is an ugly stage.
Yeah. See, when I first started with coloured pencils, I worked all over the place. But it was that whole, like, not having a completed section that kind of freaked me out all the time.
Will it ever be finished?
And can I draw? Do I actually know what I'm doing?
So for
me, it is that satisfaction of, there's an area done. It looks 95% complete, and then I can just balance it out as I bring in other areas.
So what's your go-to paper then? Like, what are you using today compared to, like, your commissions?
I always use Fabriano.
Okay.
I love my Fabriano paper.
It's a hot press. Is it hot press?
Press.
Yeah.
And I use the 640 GSM. I use the heaviest weight.
Sounds heavy.
Yeah. It's like card. I don't know if you'll be able to see. It's pretty thick. It is like card, but it takes layers, and I use a lot of layers in my work.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I need. I mean, I could use the 300 weight, the lighter weight, but I just find that I just love how my work looks on the heavier weight. I did start with drafting film.
Okay.
And I will occasionally use drafting film. Very different to the Fabriano, though.
I'm sure, because there's like no way no to it. It's like the opposite, the thickest thing and then the thinnest. Yeah.
But it is what I started on, and I do like it for like wiry fur and maybe an animal where, because I like to use the slice tool quite a bit. So animals where I know I'm going to use that slice tool, I'm just like, maybe make it easier for me, we'll use drafting film. But I very rarely do, because I look and I'm like, I just want my Fabriano, my comfort place.
And if you use drafting film, say for a commission, do you then like have to put it on something, or do you mount it, or?
Yeah, I mount all my portraits anyway.
Yeah.
Send them all out mounted. So with the drafting film, I just pre-mount it. When I've sent out, I don't think I've ever sent out a piece not mounted on drafting film. But like, say with my frame, if I've had a piece, because he's only recently seen drafting film because of when I've sent work to him, I'll send it with a backing card and a instructions, do this, do that. And
okay.
So I think if I was to ever send it, I would just send like a little instruction, like hold the outside, mount it, and then take it to a framer and tell them to frame like this.
Right. What are your big? What's the big no-nos then for framing?
So with drafting film, I only get my framer to mount it on one side, right, to tape it on one side, so yeah, it kind of naturally falls.
Yeah.
Whereas he will tape kind of all the sides if he was trying.
You're technically supposed to tape only the top side anyway, yeah, when you're doing any sort of conservation mounting.
Yeah, he does. I love my framer to bits. Yeah. He's a typical Yorkshire man and honest and straight. Mm-hmm. And then I just tell them to obviously add whatever colour I've got behind it has to obviously be mounted and framed with it.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah, I normally mount mine as well, and I've only recently started framing as well.
Yeah.
So that's been nice to actually send out a properly finished framed portrait. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, I love seeing. It's only recently I've started actually framing some of my bits.
Oh yeah,
and keeping them for myself, and like actually seeing them framed. I'm like, okay, maybe I should do this a bit more often.
Do you hang up your artwork in your home then?
We've recently moved. We've been here 18 months, but we've only just started getting artwork sorted to get up onto the walls. Mm-hmm. I've got artwork from other artists,
yeah,
and then I've got a few prints of mine or some favourite work that'll go up, but actually not much of my own work is waiting to go on the walls.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I've only got my artwork up in my studio as a sort of a back screen kind of thing, yeah, which I quite like, but I wouldn't really have it around the house.
Yeah.
It's not really my work. They're pet portrait commissions, so they're other people's pets.
Yeah.
So,
it's on the original. Yeah. So I've got the husky piece. That's what I'm.
Oh, I love that one.
That's currently with my framer because I kept the first edition print.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to go up probably downstairs, but that's probably about the only piece of work. Maybe some of my other originals I'd hang up, but it is usually the artwork from other artists that I've bought that is going up.
Yeah. No, I think that's how it is. Otherwise, I feel like it's slightly cringy. I don't want to see it, look at my artwork all the time. Yeah. Like, I like it and everything, but I don't want to see it every day.
I'm so critical of myself. So I think I'd just be walking past it and going, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that now.
Just take it down, start working on it. Yeah. So what are you working on right now? That's not just practice, Jen.
I work on quite a few pieces at once. Mm-hmm. I like to rotate. Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you?
Yes. I don't like staring at a piece for too long. So I've nearly finished a husky drawing. That's my job after this, is to get her finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another commission that, again, I'm slowly working on of some cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then an original of a leopard.
Ooh.
So two to three pieces I tend to work on. But like my original, so like the leopard, that's kind of like my evening and weekend piece to treat myself after So I always like to have that kind of, this is my treat to myself, the working hard. Mm-hmm.
You can now draw a leopard. Well done. Yeah, that sounds amazing. What do you do? Because I normally get out all my pencils, right, for drawing, and then I keep them all in my dish, and then I put them all away when I start my next one. I can't work on multiple at the same time, otherwise this happens. There's just too many pencils. I don't know what I'm using. So what do you do?
What's your system? I have this. Just a box.
Yeah.
I have the most used, and I just fiddle through the box, basically.
Right, okay, yeah.
There isn't much of a system, really. It's just a box of the most used, mm-hmm, and just try and pick up where I left and just go for it.
Yeah. So do you find sometimes when you get into the flow of, a specific fur type or colour and you've found the perfect combination of colours to bring out that fur, You don't want to lose it.
I do write down like the colours that I'm using.
Oh, okay, that's helpful then.
Something that I want to do, because I do obviously like Patreon. Something that I want to do is actually create like colour sheets. So these are the colours that I've used for this particular animal or this particular colour type. Just so, one, it's like an information booklet for my patrons, but just kind of useful to flick through and see kind of what colours I actually did use for each portrait.
Yeah, I've been finding that too, because I've started doing tutorials now, and it's just so weird. I never look at the name, like, ever of my pencils until literally now when I've started doing tutorials, and it's so weird to see how frequently certain colours keep coming up.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just naturally keep picking those same combinations of colours. Like, even if the fur type or the tutorial I've just completed is nothing like the last one, there's still specific colours in there that I keep using, and I find that really interesting. Yeah.
My thing is when you'll get your students telling you that they're guessing what you're going to do. So for eyes... Something I didn't realise I did, but they now know that usually I go in with like a warm grey, one base, just to get a base down. Oh, and then I went on top of that. But it's funny, and I'm like, I never noticed that.
Patterns.
Yeah. So they've told me that you do this, you know?
Like, okay. They know you better than you know yourself.
But yeah, it is interesting, like, when I look through all the colours and I'm like, okay, I definitely use a lot of that. And
well, you can even tell by how short they are as well.
I do think they're like, as artists, we've probably got our own kind of like colour palette as such that we work with.
Yeah, like our comfort palette.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because I don't like bright colours in my work.
You don't. You like muted tones.
I like mine to be quite muted. I say my work's colourful, but in a subtle way, because I don't like it to be obvious and in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'll go in with like purples and greens and blues, they're so subtle.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of blending.
Yeah. And I don't like.
I keep changing
yellow.
You don't like what?
I don't like using yellow.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why specifically yellow?
I don't know. I just don't like using yellow. And it's a common joke between me and my friends that I don't like yellow.
That's quite funny.
If I can avoid yellow, I will avoid it.
It's probably a good thing for scanning, because every time I try and scan in my pieces that have a lot of yellow, like a ginger tabby cat.
Yeah.
It never colour corrects properly. It's so difficult, because the scanner just doesn't pick up the yellow.
Right, okay, yeah. See, for like, I don't know, ginger tabbies, I think I use a lot of my pinks and like sanguines and burnt ochres. I will actively avoid yellow.
Wow, that's a skill there, to not use yellow during a tabby cat.
Yeah, my friend the wool in Otherworld, I will freak out if I have to use yellow. I just don't do it. The only kind of yellow tone I use is the light yellow ochre.
Uh-huh.
But I find it's not like a bright in your face yellow.
Yeah, not like this yellow. You'd hate this one.
I'd hate it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So weird.
Oh, that yellow. It's funny how we're both doing different things. I'm doing the background and you're doing the nose. Like, we're both just opted for starting at different ends of the portrait. That's funny.
Kind of getting that. This is definitely a quick drawing for me as well. I like being slow. I'm very slow and precise.
Yeah. Well, I guess because it's quite a relaxing thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think because I put the pressure on myself, but there's no pressure because it's not a commission or anything. It's just...
Have you used much of this book yet, or is this your first time?
This is the first time, but I was saying to my friends, because I was talking to them about it. I do TikTok live, so it was showcased on there.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
I was saying how it's probably something that I kind of want to try and incorporate because it's just nice and relaxed and I don't have to think as such.
Definitely. I've honestly really been enjoying it because before now, I've never practiced. I've only just gone from commission to commission.
Yeah.
But this has just been so fun. Like, I've got to draw things I've never done before in like 8 years of being an artist. Like, it sounds weird to say, oh, how have you never drawn that kind of like cat before or that kind of bird? It's like, well, I've never been commissioned to do a bird. I wanted to, you know?
That's it. And I mean, I always say like my originals are my practice pieces, but they're pieces that I want to do. It's not like, like, never go and do a rabbit's nose if I wasn't drawing a rabbit, you know? I'm not going to practice that.
But it's been so helpful. I love this book so much. And now my British Wildlife book is out.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. That's arriving for me on Saturday. So I'm excited to get going with that because I'm not a wildlife artist per se. I've never actually drawn anything apart from a tiger. But that was again only recently.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get stuck in with that too. I've actually included insects and bugs in there. So butterfly wings and ladybirds. So it's going to be not just like, you know, furry foxes and things all the time. So I'm really excited about that when I'm working on the other ones. I've just got too many ideas. That's my problem.
I can relate. So many originals that I want to do and just not enough time.
I wish I had 10 hands.
Because I want to draw them at silly sizes, some of them. Like, it's when huge. I've got an idea in my head, I'm like, that needs to be huge.
That will take you 10 years, okay?
And then I've started going out and getting my own reference photo. So now I'm like, I flick through and I'm like, oh, I need to draw. Oh, I could draw that one. Oh, the one.
Too many
now.
Because I think I want to try and do larger scale. That's mainly why I'm trying to practice to get faster, because I want to try and do bigger stuff. And I know I just don't have the time at my current speed.
I mean, they take time. The piece I'm working on, that leopard, is going to take forever. But I do know I'm a slow drawer anyway.
Is it a full leopard? Or just like the face
it's
or something?
It's half a body, so he's like laid down.
Right.
But I'm doing him just under A2 size.
Okay.
I've got not half a head. Half the top of his head drawn in. But I'm also, because I know I'm only doing it on like evenings and weekends, there's no time pressure. The only time I get time pressure is if someone buys it. Well, it's in progress, and then I'm like, oh, I need to finish it for you now.
I actually need to get this one done.
It's happened before. I've sold it when it's like, I sold a piece when it was just the eye, and then I'm like, it's meant to be a weekend piece, but then I feel like, because I've sold it, I'm like, oh, I just want to get it to them.
Get it over and done with kind of thing. Do you enjoy the packing process of drawings?
I hate it. I just want to draw. If I had someone who would do the packaging for me, they would. I mean, again, my friends laugh. They've heard me packaging. I just cannot do it. The language that comes out of me is horrendous.
While you're packing portraits.
Honestly, the tape just has a mind of its own.
I am all for that, yeah.
It just does. That's what he wants, and then I get annoyed at the tape.
I bet you're very entertaining to watch then.
Probably. We actually had a tip jar, swear jar.
Right.
Made me package on the live, and the way that I just tried to sit on my hands and not swear, because I knew it'd send back up.
Oh my gosh.
Once it's done, I'm fine. It's just me and tape just don't get along.
Fair enough. Yeah, the box
part is the most annoying part for me, but I like doing all like the certificates and signing things and writing the little thank you notes. Like, I find that the funnest part.
Yeah, I like that, especially because I got my own printer as well. So now that I can do it all at home, I like that aspect. But I'm not having to like wait for the stuff to come in. And if I want to change the design, I can off the fly. And
yeah, that sounds good.
So we'll get there. I just need to sort out this tape issue.
Maybe you need some sort of like a tape gun thing.
I probably do. I probably should invest in something like that.
Yeah, because if it's, you know, if it sounds, it sounds like the bane of your existence, so just sort it out.
Yeah, it's also because where we live, we're quite rural now, so I try and do like one big post office run at the moment.
Yeah. I guess otherwise, if you're completing multiple at the same time.
Yeah. So I can get them all out kind of at once or multiple trips. Rather than multiple trips.
Yeah.
We do have to... Well, I drive into the next village now. There is a post office here, but we... They just don't understand the whole shipping part of stuff. And
right.
I don't think they've dealt with probably somebody like me. It's so particular. So I'm just,
I use Parcel to Go.
Yeah.
And I use UPS through them. And they come and pick it up.
See, that's what I need to do. I need to do that.
But you don't need to drive anywhere.
Yeah, I need to sort my life out.
Don't worry, I'll help you. Just ask me anything. I've probably got an answer for it.
No, I think the issue is obviously we moved house and we bought a renovation project, so it was easier.
Right.
For me. If I wanted to disappear, that was my excuse, go to the post office.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And now that way, I mean, it's still a renovation project, but now that it's kind of little bits here and there,
mm-hmm.
I have the excuse, and now I just like I don't want to venture out my house.
Well, now you don't have to do, just use a Parcel to Go.
I have heard about them before, so I do need to look into them.
Yeah, they're really good. I've literally never had an issue. I only use UPS through them. I never use like FedEx and stuff.
Yeah.
I prefer UPS themselves. They're just so reliable. I've never had issues with damaged portraits. Like, thank goodness. The one time I use FedEx, a portrait, like the box turned up completely smashed. And like, it looked like it had been used as a welcome mat. There were so many footprints all over the box. And it had, like, you know, fragile, you know, be careful stickers all over it. They obviously didn't care. But thank goodness the physical drawing itself, the mount was a little bit obliterated, but the physical drawing itself was fine.
Right,
so that was, thank goodness, at least they just needed to get it remounted kind of thing. They were going to frame it anyway, but that was, like, heart in my mouth kind of situation.
I can imagine. Yeah, touch wood. I've not had an issue. Although, again, I've got clients, you know, how clients become really good friends that, again, they laugh at how bomb-proof my packaging is. Probably why I don't like packaging, because I go too far with it. But I've
a always, lot of layers.
Yeah, well, I've always been in the mindset, if I give it to my nephew, when he was younger, and left it with him for an hour, would it still be an intact portrait? So I probably don't. Above and beyond.
That's a funny little test. Quality control there.
Yeah.
Do you do competitions and exhibitions and stuff with your original art?
I do, yeah. So I'm a member of the Association of Animal Artists.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, me too. Yeah, so I exhibit with them.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping to have something to exhibit next exhibition in autumn. Again, I'm in quite a lucky position that I know a lot of people want to be in, but I do originals and they sell quite quickly at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So that means you can't exhibit them because they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. So yeah. It's nice. because like they're finding amazing homes, and I'm so lucky that I've got collectors that want my work so much, but I don't have anything to exhibit.
Yes.
And I've done quite a few competitions actually. Just because for the enjoyment more than anything, to see. Not all competitions give feedback. I've entered one where there was feedback.
Oh, that sounds useful.
But it's nice, just a bit of a confidence boost with my original work that I'm doing something that's being recognised again, because some of the competitions you see the artwork and it's, you know, you just think my work's alongside that, and that's great. It's such a good confidence boost.
Yeah. Especially when they say you're like in the top 10 or the top 5 or something, you're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I've only done digital like competitions, because all of my work is commissions that I can't send in. Then I've only had to been able to do like digital competitions, and that's quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the ones I've done have been just online.
Yeah. Okay.
Emails. I did enter with the UK Coloured Pencil Society.
Mm-hmm.
But that the one that I entered with them wasn't like a physical exhibition at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's still nice.
Yeah. I got to exhibit with them at the Derwent Museum, and that was so fun. It was such a lovely opportunity to actually meet other artists that you sort of talk to, but you never see.
Yeah,
a bit like this.
That's one of the things I like about doing them. You get to meet people, and it's that networking opportunity.
Yes,
obviously we're usually sat alone at home, doing away or whatever, and. I mean, I talked to the dog, so he'd probably bother me. And
no, it can be quite a lonely existence if you let it, I think. That's why I'm really enjoying these lives. Like, it's just been so nice to do something that I'm really passionate and excited about, but with somebody else that feels the same. And it's just been so fun.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I think it's why I do quite a few lives on TikTok. One, so people can ask questions, because it's nice, you know, starting up.
Yeah.
They want to ask and find out what you're doing. Or again, I have clients that can watch part of the process of the page. But it's that kind of like talking to people that I wouldn't normally talk to. I've met people, you know, that are in America, Australia, and all over the world. And
it's really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Oh, I'm loving your horse nose so much.
It's a bit of a mess.
Are you sort of doing, do you work light to dark then?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I do kind of map in the dark sometimes, but I wouldn't say I go straight in like super dark.
Mm-hmm.
I like build it up slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, light to dark I find easiest.
Mm-hmm. It is easy with the colour pencil, because then you can layer it properly, whereas it's so hard to layer the other way around. I have just recently used pastel matte. Have you ever used pastel matte?
Have, and I do not like it at all.
I actually feel like I'm a convert.
I've tried multiple times and I just do not like
gotta have patience, I think.
I mean, I have plenty. I just don't know if it's like the texture or some people absolutely hate the hot press. I think I'm just such a lover of the hot press. The too much texture is just, I just don't like it.
So is the hot press quite smooth then?
I find it smooth to work on. There is a texture to it. I know a lot of people feel like they have to press really hard to get rid of the tooth, but I've been using very light pressure and like you can't see it.
Right.
I think it's one of those things, you know, paper is such a personal choice.
It is.
What works for your methods and how you want your work to look. And I think maybe the way that I work on the hot press just doesn't work for pastel mat, and I just don't know how to make pastel mat work for me. Maybe it's just the whole thing, but yeah.
Do you ever mix your medias? Like, I use pan pastel as a base layer most of the time, actually.
I actually do have some pan pastels.
Oh, yeah.
And I did use them once for, like, a solid background for an auction piece, but I've not really used them much since. And I do keep saying I will, but again, I chicken out and I just go with what I know. Once I'm in a comfort zone, I'm in a comfort zone. And it takes me a year easily to really? Get off. Again, my friends laugh. Like, if I want to buy something, it will take me a year to buy it because I just don't do it. I just have to convince myself. So I remember pretty much early on in my career, I had a chair that I kept falling off.
Right.
Every TikTok live, I'd fall off it. I just fell off it. And I would keep saying, I need a new chair. And it took me a year to buy a chair because it was just that, I think it's that commitment of, like, knowing that I've got to do something and I just won't do it.
That's so funny.
I'm from Yorkshire, so we don't like spending money as it is.
Oh, I'm so the opposite. I will literally find any excuse to buy a new thing or buy a new studio equipment, especially when it comes to art. Like, oh, what can I use that for? It's more like, if I bought that, what do I need it for? Yeah. That's the question. And I have to convince myself that I need it, even though I already want it. I have to try and figure out why I need it, and if I can't give myself a good enough reason, then I can't buy it. That's what I've said.
No, I'm horrendous. I just don't spend money.
That's actually a very good thing.
It just takes me far too long. It took me ages to invest in other pencils. Like, now that I've got all the pencil brands that I want, I'm like, okay, why didn't I get these sooner? But
so what do you have? Run me through what pencil brands you have and like to use then.
So I mainly use Faber-Castell Polychromos. I love them. I also use Caran d'Ache Luminance and the Pablos. I'd say they're the three main brands that I use. I do have some Derwent Lightfast, but there's colours in there that I absolutely love, but I've struggled getting them to work for me. I found if I've used the Lightfast as like a base layer, I can't work on top of it.
Oh, okay.
And again, I've got Derwent Drawings as well, but I don't really reach for them much. I think I tend to just stick to the Faber-Castell and the Caran d'Ache pencils.
Yeah, same. I think I've got all of those as well. You just said so.
I've been told to try the Holbeins, but again, that's money that I have to spend, and I'm just, do I need them? I think part of me is like, I know how to work with the pencils I've got, and they work for me. And I've not had any issues not being able to find a colour or mixing the colour on the page. So.
It is hard to deviate. It's so hard to deviate when you're comfortable. Because I used the same paper, Winsor & Newton Super Smooth Bristol Board, for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I never changed my paper until literally this year.
Yeah.
Like, so it's been very hard to deviate from, especially a paper, because it's so hard to find the right paper. But now I've started using the Strathmore Bristol, which is what I'm using right now.
Yeah.
And it's so much better because it's still smooth. I like smooth paper. But it's just got so much more layer to it, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
It just gives you a bit of extra. So I can see why the price difference is there as well, because it is like double the amount. Yeah. That I would spend on the Winsor & Newton, but I can sort of tell why as I'm using it.
Somebody asked about Prismacolors. I've never used them. When I first started out with pencils, I was told pretty much to stay away because they're not light fast, so I've never used them. I've heard Obviously, some are light fast, but again, I've never...
I think
never...
they're trying to improve them. Yeah, I think they're trying to improve the range to be more light fast. I've never used them either, but I've heard they're very similar to a Caran d'Ache Luminance in terms of texture. So they're very good at blending. But I personally have never used them either. No. They're a really good beginner one, though, I think.
Yeah. I've heard that,
If you don't want to spend too much, or you're not ready to spend too much, or you can't spend too much, then I think they're a really good one to start with because they're so easy to blend anyway, and they're quite high pigmented as well. And, you know, going in with a Caran d'Ache Luminance, if you're just a beginner, can be quite tricky.
Did you buy your pencils in sets, though, individually?
I'd say I started off individually. So I started off with the Derwent drawing range. That was my first ever set of proper pencils. Before that, I was using like WH Smith pencils. And then I started buying Faber-Castell warm and cool grays. I love that range so much. Yeah. Still now I'm just in awe of that range. And then I started dipping into Caran d'Ache Luminance. And then literally as soon as I had the money, as a gift to myself, normally around my birthday anyway, I just bought the full set of everything.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oink, I'm going to have that now. I've earned it.
Yeah, I don't actually have the full set of Luminance. I just tend to just buy the individuals of what I need. Well, I bought the full set of Polychromos individually over time, basically. And I do have a full set of Pablos, but I don't use the full set. I never have used full sets, so part of me is kind of like, maybe I shouldn't have bought a full set, but I didn't.
No, same. There's loads of colours that I've never used before still, but I don't mind because it was very satisfying to buy the full set, and I like the big tin that it comes in, and... You know,
yeah,
the wooden like luxury version is tempting, but like I don't need it.
No, I do keep looking at that one. I have to admit.
Well, if you don't have the faucet, then you should.
Yeah, but then it's money that I don't want to spend.
But maybe you just need to spend it. buy it.
No, I've got to say I'm saving up for a puppy.
Another one. Did you not recently get one?
No, we haven't got one yet. I do want one. We've wanted one for a while.
Oh, yeah? So what breed are you getting?
Oh, it'll be another husky.
Oh, nice.
Another husky.
So lovely.
Yeah. Just waiting for the right one.
What's your husky called?
He's called Axel.
Oh, that's such a nice name.
Yeah, he's the dog that we weren't even meant to have. So. I've been involved in dog shows my whole life, and co-own his sister.
Okay.
So the plan was to have a puppy from her, but she was a singleton, so she was the only puppy in her litter. So the breeder and really good friend of mine decided to do a repeat mating, so same mum and dad, to see if she could have more puppies. Mm-hmm. The plan was, again, to have one from Portia. I'd have a grey and white female. At 3 days old, I'd fallen in love with this red and white male that's now fast asleep in my studio.
So
he was coming home regardless.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's about time he got a friend, bless him.
Yeah. Well, that's so sweet. What's been like your most challenging drawing or commission ever?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's the most challenging, but one that I found tricky. I was commissioned by my dad to draw my own dog.
Okay.
So we have Briards as well. They live with my parents. So French sheepdogs, for anybody who doesn't know what a Briard is, and they have hair that covers their eyes.
Okay.
So not having any eyes to draw, and I find that I need the eyes in portraits to kind of connect to the portrait.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with the nose was very hard, but also, if I can bring up the image, drawing her coat was by far one of the trickiest that I've had to do because it was for my mum, so she wanted one where the dog's moving, she's trotting towards you.
Okay.
The coat is flowing. It's basically like a big spaniel ear on the moon.
Yeah. That does sound odd.
Where is it? So this I would say is one of my trickiest, and it's black fur. I mean, I love black fur, but I would say that this piece was by far one of the hardest because you're trying to capture that look of long coat but her moving, and you're trying to capture character without any eyes to capture the character for you, and it wasn't the easiest, but it was fun. And it was I've never actually been able to draw my dog, my husky, in colour pencil because I, again, get too much in my mind and tell myself I can't do it. So it was nice, actually. I had to do that piece because it'd been commissioned and kind of pushed through it. So I'm like, maybe I can actually draw my own dog one day.
Yeah. I do love that piece because you do really see, like, the movement in the fur. You've captured it so beautifully.
He got there in the end. It was a long process. But that was nice because even though it was hard, it was from a photo I'd taken, so I wasn't struggling with a reference photo.
Right, yeah. That can be so tricky, can't it?
What's your hardest one been?
There was one where I had to draw my client's husband holding their two dogs. And this wasn't like a picture. I had to make that picture.
Right.
So he sent me several reference photos of his husband and their two dogs. Lots of poses of him like holding the two dogs, one dog at a time. There was never any images of him holding both. So I had to do a lot of photoshopping, which I'm not actually very good at. Basically create my own reference picture and then, like, fingers crossed, hope that it translates in my drawing. Like, come on, brain, you can do this. just pretend it's one picture, get all the light, because it's the lighting. You've got to make sure the lighting is the same. And just to make it look like the same picture. But yeah, it turned out, I think it's now one of my favourite pieces.
Yeah, no, I can see why. That actually reminded me of a piece I had to do pretty early on with my coloured pencil career.
Yeah.
So I worked with the Siberian Husky Club of Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
And they commissioned me a piece of huskies working in harness, doing their job.
Yeah.
But they asked me to change the colour of a dog twice, and I was very new to coloured pencils, as in I heavily relied on a reference photo.
Right.
And I had no reference photos. And I actually changed the colour of this dog twice, and I still don't know how I managed to do it. With no references. So it went from a grey and white husky in the reference photo to a black and white and pure white. So doing it to the black and white wasn't too difficult because I could kind of just darken up the grey fur. But I had to then draw it completely all white, and that was a challenge. So I'd probably say that was my hardest because that was very early on in my colour
pencil. Oh, amazing. Isn't it fun getting these commission challenges? Yeah. Well, I don't think I'll ever stop doing commissions. It's just so exhilarating.
I love it. Yeah. I love it, and I love the reaction of clients as well. I'd never stop doing commissions. I love them. I don't want to do as many. I am kind of not doing as many because I want to do a bit more original work. But I still love the whole commission aspect.
Yeah, it definitely feels like you're making friends across the globe with commissions.
Yeah. And it's still crazy, isn't it, to think that your work's in whatever country.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So what countries have you been commissioned from?
USA and Canada are my main country. Australia, New Zealand.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. Germany, Switzerland, Iceland.
Oh, Iceland.
I've got India's a new one. I've just been commissioned from India.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to think if there's any kind of strange countries like that. And I don't mean strange as in it's a strange country. Yeah, yeah. It's just the first country, the first time for that country.
Mm.
Yeah, I still find it bonkers. It is.
Because out of all the people in the world, they've chosen you, and it's
yeah.
It's so lovely.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I always think like there's so many amazing artists, and they've seen something in your work that they love.
Mm.
Yeah, it's still crazy to me. I keep saying it. It's always been very crazy and a surreal feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. No, it's wonderful. How do you think your touring's going?
Yeah, it's not too bad, to be fair. It looks like a horse's nose, so.
It definitely does. I love the depth of roundness you've got there with that, like, his nose nostril bit. And then the reflection. I've sort of lost my reflection a bit.
I don't know, yours looks good. I can't believe how quick you are, though.
I have been practicing. Honestly, I wasn't this quick before, but this book has made me quick. Because one, I'm trying to get it done within like an hour, which is basically now. And then two, I'm trying to practice being quicker anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at, you know, what would make the difference instead of trying to draw every hair like I normally used to.
Yeah.
Like what would actually make the difference to this piece and make it look as real as possible without actually drawing everything.
Yeah.
So no, it's been quite fun to try and do that. But we've come up on our time now. It's gone so good. So fast.
That's gone a lot quicker than I expected. But I've done more than I expected. Like that is quick for me.
Well, you've impressed yourself then. You need probably to do more of these and then show me.
I do. It's probably not as detailed as I would normally do, but maybe I'll put myself an hour each day and just see what I can get done.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not about like finishing it per se. It's more like getting it to a point where you think, okay, you know, I sort of know where to go from here, but it's not quite necessary. Do you know what I mean? I could probably put in another hour to really blend out this background, but
yeah.
I don't think it's quite necessary
at
this point.
No, I mean, it looks like a horse's nose, so I'm happy with it.
Yes, that's the idea. Number 29, horse nose.
Is it the first time? Horse nose you've done for a while then?
For a while, yeah. The last horse I drew was, I think, last year. It was a lady in China that wanted me to draw her and her horse. So that was really nice. It's hard to draw people, though.
You're braver than me. I don't do them at all.
Do you just say flat out no if somebody asks then?
I just animals for me. I just don't enjoy the process. It's too stressful for me with a human because I just know one little shadow in the wrong place, it's not that person anymore, and I don't need that pressure.
Oh, my problem is I love a challenge, so I never say no. Oh, it was so nice to talk to you and catch up with you and just generally chat and draw.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you everybody who's joined us on this live. If you would like to get your hands on this practice journal, it's available on Amazon or at learnmycraft.com. So thank you so much and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Have a lovely day.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.